morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Looks like we've got several people back who we've had sickness, still have sickness, and hopefully we get through that one of these days soon here and everybody be back out with us all well and feeling like we used to. This morning I want to take just a few moments to talk to us about something that's kind of been on my mind a lot. And a lot of my sermons, as a lot of you know, are really that's where they stem from, the things and thoughts that I have. And one of the things I've been recently thinking about is some of the things that, some of what I consider some things, they're not really minor. Sin will keep you out of heaven, but some of the things, and I won't even say that they're lesser, but things like, we know we're not going into the rob a village pantry. We know we're not going to take somebody's life. You know, we won't go there. We don't have any problem with that. But you know what? There's some other things that I want us to draw. I want to draw our minds and thoughts back about some, and I'll, at the end of the lesson, I'll kind of go through a list really quick about some things that, and I think we have a tendency to kind of, because of they're kind of on our list of priority and things like that, they're not very high and we don't think about them very much. But I want us to think very seriously about how God views things. And I want to paint a picture for us this morning of just us being aware of what God, some things God have said. If you turn in your Bibles back over to Genesis, the second chapter, we're in the Garden of Eden there. And for ever since creation of man, we begin to see how God is about things that He says. He told them in Genesis, the second chapter, in verse 17, He says, you know what? Don't eat of this tree in the garden. He says, don't eat of this tree. And it's interesting because God had provided. When you look at and consider the things in the garden, God had given man everything he needed. There was no need to go to this tree, for anything. Man had everything he needed to be happy and sustain life. He didn't need this. But because Satan enters into this picture and he convinces Eve. He talks to Eve about this. And you know what? It's interesting. If you see over in Genesis, drop down in the third chapter in verse 3, Eve puts everything, she says it all back, what God said, and she even brings to surface something we hadn't seen before. Eve tells Satan, says back to Satan, and says, we're not to eat of that tree, and nor we're not even to touch it. We're not even to touch that tree either, wasn't it? So she says that back to him. So she knows. And I wonder sometimes, you know, here we are, we're aware of some things like this, but you know what? Do we pull Eve sometimes with some things when we kind of, other things influence us? In this particular case right here, she was convinced by Satan that, you know, hey, look, this is going to be okay, it's going to be good. And we do similar things sometimes, and it seems minor. You know, so am I going to eat of this? But you know what happened to them? There was consequences. God said, you know what? I don't want you eating of that tree. And when they did, guess what happened? They got put out of the garden. And in our thinking, think about that. Does that seem minor to you? Does that seem like something that... But the whole point of this is God said, you know what? I don't want you to do this. And every time you go out and pull weeds now, I guess you need to remember that. You know, there's... by the sweat of our face now, we're going to make a living. We're going to earn a living. But there was consequences to that very thing. And the whole point, God wants us to adhere. We really don't have... He wants us to adhere to what He's told us and what He's passed on to us. Notice again in Genesis 19 chapter, here we have the story of Lot's wife. And we're all familiar with that and with that story there. But I want us to notice some things about this. Two men. Now here's something. Even from... it wasn't God Himself. Again, we see God through these two angels in here. He goes into the city of Sodom. And just think, this is a result of Lot having a choice. You know, Abraham, blessed are gave you God. Which way do you want to go? And he chose this. So now then, he's in this particular situation here. And Sodom was so bad. Now, I encourage you sometime to read about that. Sodom was so wicked, God decides, you know what? He's going to destroy it. But Abraham bargains with God, and so he didn't find 10 righteous souls there. So these two angels are going into the city, and here's Lot meets them out there, and it's so bad at night, these guys are coming to the door. They want the two angels to come out to them, and they're wanting to get in. And of course, Lot goes out and talks to him, talks to the men of the city out there, and tries to change their mind about it. But it's so bad, the angels pull Lot back inside the house. And then notice this about this. These two angels are so aware of the situation and what God's plan was. Notice down in there what he says in verse 16. You know, when the angels say this in here, it's Lot hesitated. These angels knew what was about to happen was so critical. And so they took him by the hand. They took Lot and his wife and the kid bunch, and they take him and put him out of the city. And the angels, these are God's messengers. These are God's servants here. Tell Lot and his wife, the kid says, you guys get out here. Don't even stay in this valley. You leave this valley and don't look back when you're going. Don't look back. And so they're leaving. And the angels are very aware. They said, don't even stay in there. Go. They know. That's something when I look at that, I say, man, these guys know. This is urgent. This is serious business with God. You get out of here. And so I can picture, you know, here it is. And I don't know if you've ever been running sometime when there's... You probably have not. I've been fortunate in some respects. I've been running sometime and things going on behind you. And it has effect. You can see up ahead of you some of the flashing and the burning and stuff when you're running and your back's to it. And I can relate to the fact that I have no desire to look back because we were getting out. But anyway, I picture Lot's wife in here. And you know what? And seeing all of this stuff going on, she's probably seeing some reflection up here, looking back. You know, she wasn't going to turn around and just take a look. But, you know, think about this. This is a minor thing. Just a quick one, you know, over the shoulder. It wasn't going to be one that's turned around and stopped. She's getting out of there running. And what happened to her? What happened to Lot's wife? What happened to Lot's wife? Turned into a pillar of salt. And you know what? I tell you what. That's something that, you know, again, think about this. She wasn't turned into a pile of dirt. She wasn't turned into a bunch of rocks. She wasn't turned into something else. She was turned into a pillar of salt. How does that strike you? How it strikes us? Here's how it is. You know, salt was a preservative. We're to take a look at this instant right here with Lot's wife and learn from it. Preserve ourselves from this instant with Lot's wife. That's why I believe she was turned to a pillar of salt. We're to learn from this. What God says, even though this was through the agency of an angel, a minister of God, telling him, do not look back. This is how serious a thing it was. You do not disobey God, and there not be consequences to it. I want us to stay focused on that. Take a look at that over this, what he stated there. Then we come to Exodus, the 12th chapter and verse 23. They're leaving, and here's something else. You know, think about how this sounds. You know, he says, God tells Moses, he says, you go tell the people in here, he says, this is right, the death of the firstborn, God. He says, you go tell the people here, said, I want to see blood. Put blood over the lintel, which is the bar across the door, and down the side post of the door. He says, put blood on that. You know, think about us today here. We've been told this, and I think we do sometimes. We begin to rationalize about some of the things in here, and look, well, you know what? That's a real mess, isn't it? That's real mess. And you know, what if I just put it on one side? I don't believe you could have put it down one side, on one side of the door. And I don't believe you would have had a firstborn in that household that lived. I don't believe that. God told him, Moses, he said, you go ahead and you put it over the lintel and down the sides of the door. And what happened to those that didn't? They lost firstborn in there. That's how serious a thing this is. And when God made that statement and told them what to do, then it needed to be carried out just as he had told him, said, hey, this is what I want done. Do it this way. It's that important. Then in Numbers, the 15th chapter, verse 32. Here's a man. Think about this. This one here bothers me some. I get to thinking about it. Here's a man who was picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. You know what that? The Lord said, back over. If you turn back over to Exodus 31 and verse 14. We're in Numbers 15, 32. Go back to Exodus 31 and verse 14. God said, anyone who profanes the Sabbath shall surely be put to death. That was a command right there. So you respect the Sabbath. He says, you know what? On this day, you're going to rest. He said, I want you to rest. And so here's a man on the Sabbath day. Think about this guy. You know what? He's got some things he has to do. He may be behind or something, but anyway, here's this guy on a Sabbath day. And I think sometimes I can get to thinking of the same way. You know, I come here and I pay respects to God. This man, he may have thought about the Lord early on in the day of rest. And that's the thing about the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a day of rest, but you were to think about God. It was to be kind of a holy day and a time when you went back and you reflected on those things. That's what this was all about. Well, here's a guy, you know, he may have done that during the course of early portion of the day, and I don't know what time of day he was picking sticks up, but the man was picking sticks up. And they saw him picking sticks up on this day, and so the people that saw him took him over to Moses and Aaron. And I thought it was interesting in here, again, you know, it's like, oh, well, what's going to happen here? They put him in custody. They take this man, they put him in custody. They're waiting to hear from God on this matter about what he's going to do with him. You know what God tells him? Look down there in verse 35 of Numbers 15. God tells Moses, he says, put him to death. Man, that's a small thing, isn't it? Picking sticks up. On the Sabbath day, God said, you know what? You don't profane the Sabbath. You're to have respect for the Sabbath. So the man dies. Then in Leviticus, the 10th chapter, another incident here of Nadab and Abihu. And I can picture these guys, you know, it's like, here we are, it's like, and think about this. They're going to do a good thing. They're going to go burn incense up here, and so here's two guys who kind of get together, and you know what, I'm going to get some coals over here. You know, we're supposed to go and I believe with all my heart they knew better. They knew where they were supposed to get the coals from. If you go over to chapter 16, verse 12, you'll see in there where they were to get those coals from the altar that was before the Lord. They were supposed to get the coals out of there and take it back over there and then burn this incense. And so, yeah, I can picture, you know what, nobody's going to know, especially if I think about me and my brother sometimes that, said, hey, is it okay? You think we can do this? There, nobody's going to know. I'm not going to tell on you. You can tell on me. You know, so we can go ahead and do this, and nobody's going to know. So, you know, yeah, I think about some of those times. I can picture the guys doing that. Well, anyway, it's like nobody's going to know. And you know what? They're doing a good thing. Think about that. They're going to do a good thing here. They're going to get, and the incense is going to be burning, and we're the only two to know that. You know, we didn't get this, but you know what? That wasn't the thing. Even though what they were doing was a good and a right thing to do, guess what? They did not live because God said, you know what? God said, you know what? I want it to come from over here. Go get these coals when you're going to build this fire. Put in your fire pan over here and take them over here and do that. But you get the fire from over here. And you know what? Think about us and some of the things we do. We're going to look at the list of some things in here and some things I struggle with. And I want to pass them on because I'll tell you what. Don't fall into the area of thinking, you know what, it's a minor thing like this, here especially, it's a minor thing, and you know what, surely God won't punish me for that. You know, if these guys had thought about we're going to die here, you know, they'd have never gone in there and got, they'd have never got things anywhere else except where God told them to get from. And the same thing when I think about Lot, when you think about Eve, you know, small things, but surely, you know, it's like, you know, God. And we fall into that category sometimes of thinking, oh, you know, this is not going to be a big thing. But they died. Over in 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter, here's the Ark of the Covenant in here. And here, again, there's two brothers, Uzzah and Ahio, his brother. He was in front. Ahio was in front and Uzzah was behind the cart here. And they're going down. And think about it. Again, you know, think about it. We do good stuff, but you know, it's a lawful way of doing things. And they're doing a good thing. They're moving the ark, and it's on a new cart and ox and things like that. And so Uzzah's behind. He's trailing us, and his brother's in front. And they come down to a threshing floor over here, and they stumble. And you know what? He wants to be sure. This is a precious thing they got. This is precious, but you know what? When he saw it, the cart began to tip. He reached out his hand to steady this. He didn't want anything to happen. And think about this. Can you imagine seeing that ark fall on the ground? Can you imagine it? And you'd be responsible. I'm serious. Think about the situation here. And you know what happened to him? Uzzah, because he touched the ark, and he's doing a good thing, Uzzah died. He died. All because God said, you know what, I'm telling you, this is how I want this thing transported. And man takes it upon himself to say, you know what, I think we can transport this. We can do it this way. It'll be okay. We're going to put it on. And notice, we didn't put it on something old. We're going to put it on something brand new. You know, that God's got to like this thing. It's brand new. We're going to put it on brand new. We're going to get some, put it on with some oxen. And here we're going to go. And so it can't, what can be wrong with that? Do we ever think like that in some ways, in some areas? And a man died because God said, you know what? This is what I want done. And he failed to do it. And that seems so minor sometimes, especially when I think about it. You know what? He was helping out. And to just reach up and touch this, and he saved me. He's going to steady it so that it doesn't fall. And that happens to him. And one last one I want us to look at before I go over and read this list. Look at this one. 1 Kings, the 13th chapter. Amazing story here to me about a man of God here. And this man of God, God told him, he said, you know what? I want you to go to Bethel. And he said, I want you to speak against the altar that was there. To speak against this. And so he goes there. This man of God goes there. But before he goes on, God tells him first, he says, you know, when you go there, he says, you don't eat, you don't drink, and don't come back the same way you go. Those three things he says. He tells him that. So here he goes. He's talking against the altar here, and Jeroboam doesn't like it at all. Jeroboam reaches out to get him because he doesn't like what he's saying, and Jeroboam's hand withers. And so now Jeroboam has to back up, and he knows, oh, this is from God. He knows his hand withered because of that. So Jeroboam asked this man of God, he says, pray for me that this will be removed. Right? And so the man of God prays. And Jeroboam's hand is made well. And so now then, he's fixing to go home. He's going to go home. He's fixing to leave. And he's already left. He's on his way back. And an old prophet. Think about this. There's an old prophet here. And he had two sons. And he said, he wants to know which way he left. Which way did he go? Do you know? And so they'd seen him go and they pointed. And the old prophet goes and catches up with the man of God. But now notice this in there, because it's a mystery to me. This prophet, this old prophet in here, lies. You know what he tells him? He tells him, he said, an angel of the Lord told me that it's okay for you to come back and eat with me. And you know what? The man of God believed it. And here it is, a prophet. And notice, a prophet stood up and said, you know what? I'm telling you, an angel from God told me, he said, this is going to be okay. Come on back with me. It'll be fine. So you talk about a sad, sad ending of this. Notice as they're eating and drinking back here with this guy, guess who gets to tell him the bad news? Who do you think gets to tell him the bad news? That old prophet is told by God about what's going to happen to this man of God. He's not going to be buried with his fathers. He says, and look at this. Can you imagine this? He, at this point now, how did you know, stand when, and how you feel it? If you had lied and you got, and somebody's in trouble, you know, you told a lie, so you don't even really want to look at them. You know, how embarrassed, how you feel on the inside about this very thing. This old man had to feel that way. And you know what? He feels so bad. Notice, he's trying to help this guy out. He goes out and he gets a donkey so this young man of God can get going. He's going to try to help him get back here. So he saddles the donkey so this guy can go. But you know what happened? Y'all know the story. A lion meets him in the way and kills him. And what's so unique about that, again, there's some things I think happened in there. A lion was standing by the body of that man of God, and people got to go by and see that. You know what? There's a testimony again. And people would have talked about that in spread about God. In here about what's happened. They'd have found out what happened to this man. They would inquire about it and found out and have known that, you know what, God told him. God told him, he said, don't you go back the same way you come, that you went there. Don't you eat and don't you drink. and they see this man here. And especially that old prophet. Man, you talk about something about knowing about the seriousness of what God said. Man. And it seems like a minor thing, but God told him, he said, you don't do that. So one of the things I want us to think about in here, and remember this. Nobody on the face of this earth trumps a single thing that God has said, ever. God made that, and you know what? Somebody can stand up here like myself this morning and talk to you about some things this morning. And I'll tell you what, if we cannot read it in the book, or you find something else in the book, what I said sure does not trump what's in this book. And we got a lot of that going on right now. A lot of it. Well, it won't be forgotten. And some things seem harmless, but I'll tell you what, none of that is going to trump what God has told us. Look at this list of things that I have here, and the lesson will be yours. Here's some things that sometimes we don't think about, and are on, like I was saying earlier, on the list of priority things that sometimes I don't... they don't come to us as quickly as other things. Turn the other cheek. Matthew 5 and verse 39, Jesus said that, turn the other cheek. Jesus also said in verse 40 there, if someone sues you for your shirt, give him your coat. If you're forced to go a mile, go with him too. Give to those who ask. Love your enemies and pray for them. Do we do that? I'll tell you what, that's a hard thing to do. But I can tell you, I have this happened to me, and Rhonda and Dawn are very aware of this, about a struggle that I had several years ago in such a situation. I'm going to tell you something. I couldn't bow my head and mention any names in no particular in prayer. I couldn't do it. I told Dawn that in some cases. I was really struggling with that. I could not say their name and ask for any favor or any kind of positive thing. Oh, it was just that hard for me to do. Well, I finally reached a point when I made myself do that. I made myself. And I told Dawn, and Rhonda knew about it as well. And you know what? We began to pray about that very situation. And boy, it gives me chills. 2 weeks, I was out of there. It's all it was. 2 weeks after we began to pray about it, I was out of that situation. What's that tell us? I believe the providence of God always has. See what he says right here? Says right here, he's told us that, and that's a hard thing, and I remember that. Love your enemies and pray for them. We're told to honor father and mother. We're told to love Jesus more than father, mother, son, or daughter. We're told to forgive those who have trespassed against us. And I'll tell you what, there's been some people, it has absolutely been hard. I've been in a situation where somebody lied, told a lie on me, it was going to cost me my job. Well, it got worked out. It's amazing how things surfaced on that situation. I shouldn't be surprised at that, but things changed. Some information came out that wasn't intended to come out, and I didn't lose my job. Well, I dealt with that man every day. And I'm going to tell you something. You talk about how feelings, how it was when I saw that guy, knowing he was perfectly content to sit on the other side of the table and let him fire me. Perfectly content to do that. And here it is. Forgive. And you know what? We don't have a choice in that. Are you going to go to heaven? You better be forgiving, because if we don't forgive, God will not forgive us. We were told to visit orphans, widows, sick. And we're told to do good deeds. In Romans the 13th chapter, and here's one that sometimes, you know, to what degree do we do this? Be subject to the governing authorities. Be subject to them. How? In the things that I want to be subject in, or the things that just come easy to me. Is that what it is? Or is it all of it? I'll tell you what, if God is expecting us to be subject all the way, I'll tell you what, we're not going to get by. And it's, we're not going to get by at all with you know, I won't do this or that, but you know what, I'm doing the most of it, and I'm doing, you know, so I'm going to be okay. You know what? That's the kind of thinking that Satan wants us to have. It is. Satan wants us to think like that. Because I'll tell you what, and we all know this, and this is the very reason sometimes that I lay down in my bed at night and have a hard time going to sleep because, you know what, I know sometimes and what I've done during the day sometimes, you know what, you go to sleep at night fully confident that if something happens to you in the night, you're going to wake up, that you're going to be okay with God? Is it any wonder? You know, we're not confident 100%. We're not totally dedicated to doing this. And it's no wonder we have those fears and being upset about things because we know I ought to be doing some things. I need to be doing some things different. And we're not. I love 1 Samuel, and I'll close with this. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter and verse 22. And don't forget this passage. Here's what he said. Listen to this. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. You know what we're doing here today? We're in sacrifice today. We're here, we're in sacrifice, paying homage to God. But you know what he says in there? It is better to be obedient than it is to be offering sacrifices to God. He said, it's better, but you know what? We've got to do it. We've got to do it all. Don't get to thinking, you know, I'm going to live it out here and never have to darken the doors. That's not it either. But he said, it is better to be doing these things and doing it right and taking it serious and being sure than to sacrifice. Where are we at with this? You know, I think back a lot of times. There's people I've heard a lot, you know, that Bob, people have told us that, well, obeying the gospel is just an act of... it's something you need to do, and baptism is one of those things you can do at any time. It's not really necessary. But you know what? That don't agree with what we can read in here. But we find that baptism washes away sins. Remaining faithful unto death. Well, we're okay, and we can go out here and do whatever we want and just pray to God and get all those things. I'll tell you what, find that stuff in here. And find some of the other ideas that are floating around about whether or not it's okay and how God views gays. And all this other stuff we got. How does God view that? Has God changed? Well, you know what? Even though the world would have us to change our thinking and change our ways, that doesn't change one thing about what's in here. God said, and we need to be thinking about it. And we need to take a serious look. You know, even though we got the big things we were talking about earlier, I'm not going to shoot somebody, I'm not going to rob a village pantry, do some of those other things, we need to be looking at some of these other, what we consider a little lesser things in here, even though they're not lesser, really. We've got to be looking at them. Because what God says trumps everything else, and we need to obey it. What are you aware of this morning? Are you aware of what he said about, you know what, if you haven't had your sins washed away, about that being done, you need to do that. It's not me. I'm not telling you that. I'm right out of this book. You want to go over there and read Acts 22, or Acts 2 and Acts 22, where Paul retells the story. You can go back over there and look at that. And over and over again, you know, we see, and then you get over to Revelation 2 and 10, talk about being faithful unto death. That's what it is. And God said it. And we need to be doing it, and we need to be fearful about those things and be sure that what we're doing is in agreement with all that. Or we need to be fearful. If you're subject to